Good morning. After your tithes and offerings are collected, we'll bring you an outline of our lesson. Hold up your hand if you would like one. As they're being passed out, let me dismiss Power Kids at this time. We are in a study started just last Sunday of the Kingdom of God. This will be one of the most important studies I've ever preached, and also one of the hardest to preach, because it's hard to get your hands around the Kingdom of God. Maybe that's one reason why men are so inclined to like and to create institutional religion, because institutions can be grasped and handled and controlled. The Kingdom of God cannot be. That's what we're going to try to understand. And I recognize that last Sunday, I tried to capsule about 9 months of study into 30 minutes. And there was a lot to fathom. Been a lot of tape requests. Now I want to say to you, if you were not here last Sunday, get a tape of that message. Let me just say up front, I make no money off sales of tapes of the messages. So I don't say to do that because I will get anything, but because you will get a very important foundation for this critical study. Jesus talked more about the Kingdom of God than any other subject. And it was still hard to grasp. Even after His resurrection, He spent 40 days teaching on the Kingdom. The disciples were still having problems understanding. So we're in a study right now that is going to require us a great commitment to think, to concentrate, and to be willing to have old ideas challenged. One of my favorite Peanuts cartoons was of Lucy and Linus together at their home. And Lucy is looking out the window at a torrential thunderstorm. And she says, "Boy, look at it rain. It might flood the whole earth." And Linus, not even looking up, just says casually, "No, it won't." Because God promised in Genesis chapter 9 that never again would He flood the whole earth, and He gave the rainbow as a promise. And Lucy said in the next frame, "Boy, that sure takes a great load off my mind." And Linus replies, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." Sound theology is always helpful, especially when the subject is the reign of God. You see, many believers have been confused and even dismayed by all of the inaccurate reign forecast of theological prognosticators over the years. Go to any Christian bookstore and there will be shelves filled with books telling you all about the Kingdom of God and when it's going to come. Just keep in mind that those books replaced the books on the shelves a few years ago that said the same thing, only they missed the date. See, there's a certain mystery about the relation of the Kingdom of God to time and to history. And the only way you're going to find any meaning to that mystery is in Jesus. And when you embrace that mystery, you're going to find some meaning for your life as well. So what we're going to try to do this morning is we're going to try to understand this mystery of how does the Kingdom of God relate to time and to history. Now here's the first thing we know from Scripture. That is that God's kingdom is celebrated as an eternal reality. In other words, the reign of God has always existed and will always exist. God is king. He's always been king. He's always going to be king. He's never going to be overthrown. He's never going to abdicate. The kingdom of God is an eternal reality. Look at these scriptures with me. Psalm 10 verse 16 says, "The Lord is king forever and ever." Psalm 145 verse 13 says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." The prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 10 verse 10, "The Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal king." A moment ago, we sang the song Ancient of Days. It comes out of the book of Daniel. In the 7th chapter, the prophet has a vision. And he says in the vision, I saw one like the Ancient of Days. And he sat on a throne made out of fire with a river of fire coming out of it. And hundreds of millions of angels attended to him. And look at this verse. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The kingdom of God has never been threatened. And it never will be. There is no dominion in all the universe that is not ultimately subject to the dominion of God. There is not one atom of one molecule in the whole universe that can look at the throne of heaven and say, nah, 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 you can't make me. It is all under the throne of God. The Lord is the eternal King. He is King with or without the consent of men. You can acknowledge Him as King, but you don't make Him King by your acknowledgement. He is King whether you say He is or not. But while all the universe is under the dominion of God, there currently exists an invitation from God to men to willfully accept His rule. February 15th, 2004 is one of those unique dates in history where the option to accept the rule of God is available to men. The kingdom of God has always existed. But right now we have the privilege of choosing to enter it. And that's the second way the Bible talks about the kingdom. It speaks of the kingdom needing to be established among men. So the second thing about the kingdom the Bible says is that God's kingdom was inaugurated at the coming of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth was born a king. Now, His arrival did not bring the kingdom of God into existence, but it brought the kingdom of God within the reach of man. He could say, good news is here, the kingdom is at hand, the kingdom is within reach. When He taught His disciples to pray, your kingdom come, He was saying the reign of God is now available in all the areas of life where men had previously excluded it. And the evidence that God's kingdom can be entered right now and enjoyed right now is the life and the ministry and the person of Jesus. One time Jesus cast out some demons. And His critics said, it's only because of the power of Satan He can do that. And Jesus said, no, that ain't how it works. Satan's kingdom does not fight against itself. But He said, Matthew 12:28, here's what this means. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He presented His life as validation for His announcement of the availability of God's government. By the way, He presented His death in the same light. He said His death has made it now possible for men to enter the kingdom of God. In Colossians 1:13-14, Paul wrote, He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So when people tell you the kingdom's coming someday and someday we'll get to enter the kingdom, but not now, they're mistaken. The kingdom can be entered right now. It can be enjoyed right now. In fact, there's nothing that made Jesus matter than preventing people from entering the kingdom that were really seeking the rule of God. And do you know who the worst violators were? Religious professionals. Religious professionals like for religion to be institutional so they can call the shots. You don't get to call the shots in the kingdom of God because you're not on the throne. Jesus said one time to these guys in Matthew 23, verse 13, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees and hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." There's no worse crime than to set up so many religious rules and traditions that people are impeded in the prospect of seeking the reign of God in their life. But you might at this point be asking a very legitimate question. Rick, you're saying the kingdom of God is here right now. I always heard the kingdom of God hasn't come yet. If the kingdom of God is here right now, then why is there still so much evil in the world? In the prophets, when they saw the day that the kingdom would come and a new heaven and a new earth be set up, they said, man, the kingdom is just going to obliterate all the evil and all the pseudo kingdoms. But they're still here. So how can you say the kingdom has come? That's a good question. That's the mystery of the kingdom. And you get a hint of the answer in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5, where he speaks to Christians and says, "You have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age." Right now, you have tasted the power that's coming soon. It's a real taste, this kingdom of God. But it's not the full banquet yet. One more thing the scripture says about the kingdom and history. It's celebrated as an eternal reality. It's always existed. God's always been on the throne. Inaugurated when Jesus came. You can enter and enjoy the rule of God right now through Jesus Christ. But one more thing the Bible says. God's kingdom will be consummated when Christ returns. You see, the Bible calls this time of history we're in right now the present evil age. It says that in Galatians 1 verse 4 and other places. It also says in 2 Corinthians 4 4 and other places that Satan is the god of this age. This present evil age is ruled over by Satan. We'll never experience the full blessings of the kingdom of God in this age. We can enter it. We can taste its powers now. It's already come, but it has not yet completely come. We enter it now, but other verses say we will inherit the kingdom. You see, you know why you can't fully enjoy the kingdom now? As blunt as I know how, it's your body. You always knew your body was a problem. Well, I'm telling you, your body's a problem. Your body's corruptible. The kingdom of God is not. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, "I declare to you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." And so the Bible says that you can taste and enjoy the blessings of God's rule in your life right now, but you'll never fully experience the kingdom of God until you get rid of this corrupted body. That's why you have verses like in 2 Peter 1:11. "You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We currently live in a present evil age. But even in this age, even though it's evil, even though the god of this age seems to be in control, we have tasted the kingdom of God that is coming in full power soon. This present evil age is going to be swallowed up when Jesus comes back. And then everybody's going to see where history has always been headed, to the complete realization of God's perfect reign over all the universe. The day is coming when the whole world is going to see what we already know is about to happen. Look with me, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's great chapter on the resurrection. He points out Jesus has to be raised first, and after that, certain things are going to happen. So you start in verse 23. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised first. And then when Christ comes back, all his people will be raised. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father. Having put down all enemies of every kind. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. Has Jesus humbled all his enemies? Not all of them yet. You know what? He hasn't humbled completely yet. Won't till the resurrection. Look at the next verse. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scripture says, God has given him authority over all things. Of course, when it says authority over all things, it doesn't include God himself who gave Christ his authority. But then, at the resurrection, when the last enemy is destroyed, then, when he's conquered all things, the Son will present himself to God so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. Now, is not God already utterly supreme? Yeah, but people don't seem to get the idea yet. The universe doesn't seem to know it yet. They will then. Christ will conquer every enemy, hand the kingdom back to God, and God will finally be made known to the universe for what we already know to be true. The coming of Jesus is going to make fully visible to everybody what has always been true. Our God reigns. But the coming of Jesus is going to do something else. Listen very close. It's going to close that time in history when men can willfully choose to enter the reign of God. In this present evil age, God has given men a choice to accept his gracious rule. All that reject that offer in the age to come are going to be assigned to a place where they will be free from the rule of God forever. And it's called hell. Let me tell you what hell is. Hell is a place where billions of rebellious men and rebellious angels will spend eternity where personal sovereignty is normal. Where the willful, selfish, ambitious pursuit of your own end, no matter who it hurts, is the norm. And there will not be in hell, like there is on earth, the gracious stay of God. It's possible to taste heaven now. It's also possible to taste hell. We do every day. Christians experience hell on earth. But the resurrection of Christ has shed new light on the whole human predicament. And what he has done is guaranteed what he will do. And so thank God, even though we live in a present evil age, we get to taste some of tomorrow right now. Now, what everybody wants to know is, yeah, but when's tomorrow going to come? And I got the answer, because Jesus gave it. Jesus said, nobody knows except the Father. So if anybody tells you they know when the complete unveiling of the kingdom is coming, they're mistaken. Because nobody knows but the Father. Long time ago, I made a decision. I am not going to be on the planning committee for the coming of the kingdom. I'm going to be on the welcoming committee. And there's room on that committee for you to join me. This is a mystery. God's kingdom has always existed. Right now, in time and space history, it's available through Jesus Christ. Men can willfully choose it. The day is coming when it'll be completely unveiled. will be resurrected in our uncorruptible bodies to completely experience the kingdom. That's the good news. The bad news is when that day comes, men no longer have the choice to enter God's reign. That's the mystery of the kingdom. Now, powerful things happen when we embrace this mystery. Let me share with you at least three. First, to embrace the mystery, we must refuse to lose hope while dealing with so many present rebellions. Refuse to lose hope while dealing with so many present rebellions. As we've already said, it's God's sovereign purpose in the present age to allow Satan to exercise some measure of authority and power. God is temporarily, now let me say that again. God is temporarily allowing a limited rebellion to His reign. Every day when we read the papers, it seems like God may not be in control. But the word of the prophets is clear. Someday God's kingdom is going to invade space and history. And it is going to squelch and obliterate every single rebellion to His rule. But you see, these very prophecies cause confusion. It did to John the Baptist. That's why some people couldn't figure out whether or not Jesus meant what He was saying. I mean, John said, look, here's the Lamb of God. Here He is. But later when they put John in prison and he experienced the evil of this age, he sent messengers. Are you sure you're the one? I thought when the king came, he was going to get rid of evil. And here you are saying you're the king and evil's still here. How come? Well, that's the mystery. The mystery is this. It really has come in Jesus. But it has not yet come in irresistible power. It will someday. But right now, the kingdom of God is like leaven in a loaf. It's like a mustard seed. It may seem little. You may not even notice it. But it's here. It really is here. It may be a tiny seed, but it's the kingdom of God. And what Jesus wants you to do is believe with all your heart that He has brought the kingdom to this world. In spite of all the rebellion against God you see going on around you, don't despair and give up. The kingdom is here. You can enter it. You can enjoy it. It will win the day. There was a great documentary 10 years ago, 1994, to commemorate one of the greatest battles of history, the invasion of Normandy, D-Day. And they interviewed a number of the soldiers that participated in D-Day that were still alive. As they crossed the English Channel, as they stormed those beaches under incredible opposition from Nazi machine guns and bombs. What I remember most was two different guys being interviewed. One was one of the fellas that stormed the beach, being raised by enemy fire. And they asked him, "What were you thinking?" And he said, "I was thinking there is no way we can possibly win." But the second man was a pilot providing cover from a plane overhead. And as he looked down on the beach and saw the battle, they said, "What were you thinking?" And he said, "I was thinking as I looked down and saw what I saw, there was no way we could possibly lose." Jesus wants you to look at this present evil age from above and to see that even though it looks bad right now, there's no way the kingdom of God that has currently invaded earth can possibly lose. No way. This kingdom will be victorious. So we join with Paul in 1 Timothy 1:17. We say, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. Right now He is. Won't always be. But right now by faith we see Him. And we say to the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's the first thing I want you to do as you embrace the mystery of the kingdom. It's here. It will win the day. Don't despair at all the rebellion against God you see going on in the world. It's temporary and will not last. Now here's the second thing you do to embrace the mystery. You do it by choosing to live in the world while not being of the world. Jesus has not called us to isolate ourselves in secluded little societies while we await the final consummation of His kingdom. He's called us to engage this world, but not get entangled by it. This is a hard thing to do. It's a tension we must live with. A tension that Jesus acknowledged. I want you to notice what He said to Pilate on trial when Pilate said, are you a king? Look at Jesus' answer in John 18, verse 36. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Jesus' kingdom does not belong beside the kingdoms of the world. But we do. Because look at what He prayed one chapter earlier for His disciples. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus' kingdom is not a part of this world order. But He has not called us to go form little God clubs and live inside big church buildings and hide out from this world. He has called us to engage this world, even though we're not a part of this world, and forcefully advance His reign to all the world. You see, we're realists, we Jesus followers. We recognize that evil is all over this world. It's still present in all its terrible power. But we don't cower, we don't hide out. We're not intimidated. We are the people of the kingdom of God. And we will take the good news that God rules to every corner of the world. You see, one of the problems in the church today is we forget our primary citizenship. Let me say to you as bluntly as I know how. You don't get your identity from any kingdom of the world. Sometimes I think that we have the idea that we are primarily Americans who happen to practice Christianity. Wrong. You are primarily a Christian who just happens to live in America. And there is no kingdom on earth that has first claim on you. None. When George Shultz was Secretary of State, he had this practice that whenever someone came forward to be a new ambassador for our country, he'd have him go over to a big globe in his office and say, point out the country, your country. He wanted to know, can you even find on the globe the country you're being sent to? Mike Mansfield came in. He was going to be sent to Japan as our ambassador. And Shultz said, go show me your country. And Mike Mansfield walked over to that globe and turned it and put his finger right on the United States of America and said, this is my country. Loved ones, listen to me. The kingdom of God is your country. We are aliens and pilgrims. We can live anywhere, under any dominion, of any king, of any government, anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter, because our first duty, our first claim is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God tells us who we are and tells us what our priorities are. We don't wait to enjoy the kingdom of God. We live in it right now and share the news of it to the world. That's what it means to embrace this mystery. It means you refuse to despair at all this evil in the world, and you choose to live in this world, but not of it. And it means one more thing. You embrace the mystery, I believe, by losing your life in pursuit of the reign of God. What Jesus wants to know is this. The kingdom right now is like a mustard seed. It's like leaven. A lot of people can't see it. Do you see it? Do you believe in the ultimate destiny of the kingdom of God so completely that you will tie your own destiny to it? I believe Jesus examines faith by one criterion, only one. Did you seek first the kingdom of God? Oh, I know you sang the song ever since you were in high school, but did you do it? You see, when you look at the hard things that Jesus said, they were always about this truth. Is the kingdom of God first in your life or not? Let me show you, for example, look at Luke 9. He said some hard things in Luke 9, but it's because he wants the kingdom to be first. Starting in verse 57, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you no matter where you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head." He said to another person, "Come, be my disciple." The man agreed, but said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." And Jesus replied, "Let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God." And another one said, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." God did not create you to pursue your kingdom come. He created you to pursue His. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll talk more about what that means next Sunday. But right now I want to illustrate it with a story. I'm going to have the privilege in a couple of weeks to go to Ozark Bible College and speak at a lectureship. And while there, I'm going to meet Zidon and Helen Nutt. They have a wonderful ministry. They produce Christian messages on videotape for missionaries in Christian churches and churches of Christ around the world. And recently, they were in Jabalpur, India. Now, that's a part of the world where it is illegal for a Christian to initiate a conversation trying to convert somebody to Jesus. But it's not illegal if someone wants to ask you about Jesus to answer the question. So Zidon Nutt and his ministry have produced videotapes about the story of Jesus, and Christians have passed them out all over that city so that people can watch them and then come up to a Christian and say, "I've got a question about that." And that's how Simi came to Christ. And recently when Zidon and Helen were in that city, in a hotel on the third floor, there was a knock on their door. And Simi had come to see them and to say thank you to them. As she put it, "I used to worship 32,000 gods. Now I know the one true God." But there's more to the story. you need to know about Simi. Simi can't walk. She's paralyzed, waist down. And her wheelchair broke. And she didn't have money for another one. So Simi crawled. She crawled several miles to town. And she got to that hotel and the elevator was broken. So she pulled her body up three flights of stairs to say to those people, thank you for letting me know about the God who rules. Now, by the world's kingdom standards, she is not fit for much. But she is fit for the kingdom of God. And you can be too. Let's bow our heads. Father, I understand that the mystery of the kingdom is hard to grasp. It's hard to preach. But most of all, it's hard to live. I pray today that you will give every believer here a greater sense of their alienness, a greater sense of detachment from all the governing forces of earth that are so temporary, and a greater passion to be realigned with the only kingdom that is eternal. Help us seek the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Elders and ministers are going to be in room 109 to pray with people today. I'll be down front to receive those who are ready to acknowledge Jesus as King and to be baptized into His glorious name. Soon and very soon, the whole world is going to know what we know right now. Let me tell you something, folks. The kingdom is coming. Now, you can get on your knees, or you can turn your back, but the kingdom is coming. I urge you to get on your knees while it's still an option. Let's stand and sing.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. And no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Thank you, church. Go ahead and remain standing. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisle at this time? Guests can turn in the purple card. Take those to the Welcome Center if you'd like a packet that tells you more about our church. Justin Stevens is going to be baptized right after this service is dismissed. Invite all friends and family to come up to the stage and celebrate with that good family. His father, Stan, will baptize him in just a moment. Next Sunday, we'll talk about what it means to seek the kingdom. Be in much thought about that. This Wednesday night, very special assembly. There's been a lot of talk, even in the front page of the paper today, about a movie called The Passion of the Christ, directed by Mel Gibson. A lot of people have asked, is our church going to do anything to take advantage of all the questions that movie is going to raise? Yes, we are. We've got a major league plan in place. Going to share it with you next Wednesday night. Also, I'm going to give you my review of the movie. I've had the privilege to see a pre-screening. I'll tell you what I thought, or what I thought was great about it, what I thought was could have been better. I'll also give you my personal views about how old a child needs to be before he sees the movie. All that is this Wednesday. Now, here's the deal, folks. You're supposed to seek first the kingdom. In the next month, everybody here at a water cooler, at a bus stop, and a grocery store is going to have somebody ask you about that movie. And the question is, are we equipped to respond and show somebody the kingdom of God? That's why you need to be here Wednesday night. We're going to talk about that and give you some tools to help. So be in prayer about that. We'll see you at 7 o'clock. Hans, would you come lead us in the closing prayer? Let's sing one time through the great hymn, Majesty. We'll be dismissed.
Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Father, we're so grateful that the kingdom has come. Lord, we're so grateful that You've included us in it. Father, prepare us and empower us this week to be very active in making people recognize and understand who haven't seen it yet, Lord, to see the kingdom and to want to become a part of it, Lord. Help us to use the tools that Rick's given us, Father, and more importantly, the power that Your Spirit has given us to, Father, be very convincing that in Your care and in Your kingdom is the very best place to be on earth. Pray that in Jesus' name.